B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, sports talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady drops protection, throws the deep ball toward the corner end zone. Scotty Miller in it. He's got the ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Scotty Miller. Great throw by Brady.
This couldn't be a better throw.
I think he's matured. I believe in second chances. Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was something Jason and I've been talking for a couple of weeks, ever since the injuries to our other guys. And when the time was right, would we see if we could pull the trigger and fit it into what we want to get done? And we'll see. I mean, we have nothing. If Antonio does what I think he's going to do, he's going to be fine.
That's a hell of a fire.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. Watch us on twitch.tv, search 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can also get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Stream the station, listen to our podcast, get all of the blogs and what have yous. Greg Allman covers Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they have all the nice things. For The Athletic, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Line. Hello, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hope you guys are doing well.
Well, we are doing well. Now, it seems like offensively everything for the Buccaneers has been gelling nicely. It seems that, you know, certainly Vegas has got this team as one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. And then here comes Antonio Brown. What? You don't believe for a second Brady isn't all over this thing, do you?
No, I mean, I think he was lobbying for Antonio Brown a long time ago. I mean, I think what's interesting is that Bruce Arians, you know, went from what I think he said was emphatic no in spring to obviously believing enough to sign him now. I think the injuries that they've had at receiver, all four of their top guys have really missed some time, at least, if not games, in these first 5-6 weeks of the season. So I think that's what's kind of prompted this. I don't know that it explains everything, but it certainly shows why they would need to shore up an area where they have pretty good depth when everyone's healthy.
So this was the indicator, and I know that the Gronk move was one thing, but this really was the true indicator that this isn't Bruce Arians' team anymore. This is Tom Brady's team, correct?
Yeah, I mean, again, he's making it sound like this is something they did independent of Tom, but I think, you know, whether you say that Brady has input or influence, you know, I think he definitely is, you know, has an opinion that carries weight with them just because he's one. I think he knows firsthand what AB was like in a locker room. I mean, he didn't leave the Patriots because of anything he did with the Patriots. It was just everything that happened with public allegations around him at a time where the team obviously didn't want to have more negative headlines. So I think because he didn't do something negative with the Patriots so much as just be there when things went wrong for him, that probably helps things, at least as it does with Brady's experience of what he did in a club, in a locker room.
How tough was this for Bruce Arians? And the reason I ask is that there's been articles that have come out since the signing of Antonio Brown about how, you know, Arians has been outspoken when it comes to, you know, women's rights, a champion of women. There's a lot of quotes and a lot of things he's done and actions he's taken. And then this happens. So do you believe this is tough for him, for Bruce Arians, to do this signing, and he's kind of taking a leap of faith and showing the ultimate trust in Tom Brady by bringing him in, and how tough do you believe it was?
I don't think it's an easy decision. I mean, I think he's being honest when he says that if he does anything wrong, he's gone, or if additional things come out. I mean, how he explained it the other night, Sunday on the presser, was saying that, you know, he wants the court system to do its job. And if they find that more things happen now, Antonio Brown doesn't have any court dates coming up anytime soon. I think December would be the earliest that anything would happen, even with a civil lawsuit. So usually with those kind of things, legally, they can kick the can down the road and make it a non-issue. Nothing's going to happen because you can delay anything happening until after football season. So that's an answer, but it's also kind of just putting one thing on hold to let something else happen. I mean, Bruce Arians has been very, very supportive, not only of women in the NFL by hiring two full-time women on the staff, but with women's issues. Billie Jean King just gave him an equality award from the Women's Sports Foundation, like within the last month. So he's done a lot of things publicly in support of women. This obviously goes against that because it was some of the things he's been accused of. So what Bruce is saying is that, you know, he wants to let the legal system run its course. And if he finds that anything did happen, they won't tolerate that. But at the same time, right now it's a he said, she said, and the Bucks are obviously kind of going with what Antonio Brown has said.
Are you surprised at all about how Gronkowski's been playing after the way he started the season? Arians kind of dismissed, you know, his role as a receiver, and here he is, a couple touchdowns in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everyone thought it might take a little bit of time for it to take, for him to get back in-game speed and feeling the rhythm of and everything. I don't think we expected him to be as quiet as he was the first two or three games. I mean, he didn't have targets, didn't have catches. It was week six before he had a touchdown. But having said that, now, these last 2 weeks, he's been very involved. He's had touchdowns both weeks. It feels more like, you know, like old times, like him and Tom Brady connecting and knowing where they are on the field and all those kind of things. So the whole rhetoric of Gronk saying he's a blocking tight end and Bruce saying that, you know, if he came here to block, that's what he came here to do. You know, they're going to ask him to do everything they ask tight ends to do. I think, you know, those guys connected like 78 times for touchdowns. So I think we knew it was going to find its way back to closer to normal before too long.
Is Antonio living with Tom Brady like he did for a while? Did he kind of shack up here in New England?
You posting videos yet on Instagram?
Yeah. Posting videos? Like, what have you heard about the last couple of days? Because I know he starts practice today, right, with the team?
He can't practice until he's still suspended. So he can join the team today. He can attend meetings. He can work out with strength coaches. Suspended players can't practice. So he can't actually practice until next week. His suspension
But he can be
ends.
In the facility, right? Like he can be there with them. And
he's in the building. He can, like I said, do everything but practice and play, basically.
Okay.
So he's there. And, yeah, I'm curious in that I would think I think the people that went to bat for Antonio, and there's a lot of people, not just Tom. I mean, Byron Leftwich was a teammate. Larry Foote was a teammate. You know, you look at Antoine Randall-L is on this team as a former teammate. So there's lots of guys that know him and have worked with him.
He's still in the league?
No, he's an assistant coach.
I was going to say.
He's their assistant receivers coach, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But anyway, all these people going to bat for him, I would think a natural extension of that would be them saying they're going to keep a close eye on him, whether that's literally someone bringing him into their home to help him get through the next 2-3 months without incident. That would make sense to me. I don't know whether it's something Brady would do or not, but his place is big enough where he probably has a spare bedroom.
I would like it if someone would bring me in and make sure I don't cause any mischief. Is that Guerrero fella running all over the place, Tom Brady's guy? Have you seen him everywhere massaging people?
We don't really see him, but, I mean, everybody, Gronk still works with him. Brady works with him. Obviously, I think there are a lot of players that are kind of taking advantage of. There's a TB12 franchise office that does, you know, massages and whatever else you need a couple miles from the stadium.
Have you gone? Have you been pulled into the web?
I have not patronized the facility, but I went by and saw the guys there. It's nice.
I have.
Operation in a strip mall.
It is invasive. It is painful.
I'm going to take your word for that.
Now, afterwards, I felt like pretty – it took a little bit, but I mean, there's times where I thought I was being pranked. Like they were like pushing and hurting me so bad. I was
well,
like, there's a camera on me.
Yeah, it's science. That's all it takes. Is no one's thought of going really, really hard. They're the first person to have thought of if you apply a boatload of pressure. They invented that. No one has ever thought of that before.
You should do it because it's. I mean, well, it's I. It's way too expensive. I mean, it was like $200-something, you know, for it, and it's like an hour and a half, I believe. You get the massage, and then you get like I don't know, you work out with a rubber band or something for a minute. I mean, it's really expensive. But I gotta tell you, you know, when I left for a day, I felt okay. I felt all right. But while you're there, they're bending you in positions that your body shouldn't be bent, and sticking their thumbs in muscles that shouldn't have thumbs in them. Yeah. Like I almost saw white one time. I was like in so much pain. So
sounds great. Yeah. Like I said, it's there. I'm not saying I'm signing up for it right now, but it would be a fun story to write.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be the first, so let's try to be a little more.
Just get the water bottle that says TB12 on it and say you did it.
Drink lots of water. Protects against the sun. Have you heard?
No sunburns, and that's an issue.
That's right. The vibrating sphere should be all you need for $150.
So, Greg, it sounds like you like this this move. You don't think that it's going to – the move for Antonio Brown, it doesn't sound like it's going to cause any disruptions as far as you're concerned.
No, it certainly could. Again, you go to his last two teams, he played no games, he played one game. So I think you have to temper any expectations of things going smoothly. But I do think he has to be aware. It's been a year since he played. So I would think he has to know he's on a short leash. And again, whether he kind of behaves accordingly, we don't know. I mean, the COVID thing kind of makes it even trickier. I mean, there's so many rules that people have to abide by just to not put a team at risk of having COVID come into their facility. So, I mean, that's where it has to start, is just following every rule they have for him to the letter.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg Allman, for the Tampa Bay over there at The Athletic. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, you guys take care. Thanks again.
All right, we appreciate it. By the way, Carlos Dunlap told to stay home by the Cincinnati Bengals. He is available.
Dallas. I guess
there's two guys in Dallas, too. I'm sorry, John. Yeah,
yeah. Don Terry Poe is the name that people would know. Dallas has told defensive tackle Don Terry Poe, who was really good for Kansas City for a while before tailing off big time for Dallas. They told him that he's either going to get traded today or released today. So.
All right. Well, Carlos Dunlap, if you are playing a video game from 5 years ago, you could.
Yeah. There's a reason player. Why. Yes.
Yes. Carlos Dunlap, again, one of those guys saying, Cincinnati, you really do fall off the face of the earth. Like, you really don't know who's on Cincinnati except for their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, oh, yeah, AJ Green. I remember him from when I used to play video games.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, Carlos Dunlap. He was really good for a minute there. All right. We'll be back. We can talk some Patriots. People have been calling in 617-779-0985. I am convinced that they are going to win outright. That I'm not concerned with the spread, that this game against Buffalo. Buffalo, who I've seen play three times this year, I have no faith in. I have no faith in them being able to do anything against this Patriots defense. I don't think that means anything. I don't think it should change the philosophy of the Patriots moving forward, but I do think they're going to win this game. Yes, John.
The
Bankroll Boys are here tomorrow, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you willing to place a wager to that effect?
Sure. Why not? What's that, Rich?
We talked earlier today about the Stephon Gilmore rumors about him being traded for the Patriots. Just keep getting more smoke. Burt Breer last night on NBC Sports Boston mentioned that he's continuing to hear rumblings about this as well. Belichick was asked about that. And there's also some other rumors that are coming out about Stephon Gilmore this morning. We can get to that as well.
We will have that for you in just
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
We absolutely did have conversations with other teams about dealing with Stephon Gilmore.
You want me to play that? Here we go. All right, here we go. This is Burt Breer.
They absolutely did have conversations with other teams about dealing Stephon Gilmore. And if you're not going to compete for a championship, which I think is always going to be the bar here as long as Bill Belichick's here, see what you can get for someone like Stephon Gilmore, because I think chances are he's not going to be on the team in 2021. They had to move some money from 21 to 20 to make him happy this year. He'll want another raise next year. So I think when they did make the move to move that money up, there was an acknowledgement that he might not be around next year.
Copy as much. That is Burt Breer saying some's working, might as well play the funk.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize it ain't the funk. It's not the sweatshirt with the cut-off sleeves that makes Belichick great. The funk is just a little sprinkle on the Sunday of the Toucher and Rich show.
Sweet, unlicensed, royalty-free funk.
That's right. When you work for the corporations that aren't paying the ABSCAP royalties, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway... here's the deal. Here are my feelings, and then we can play audio, because everyone wants to know what I think. And so here is what I think. I think that the Patriots win on Sunday. I've watched Buffalo three times. Their offense is putrid, P-U. and you can give me stats, but you're not watching the game then, because Josh Allen invariably makes mistakes. And the mistakes he makes, I mean, they beat the Jets, who have one of the worst defenses. There's honestly maybe three NFL players on that defense. Three players that would play in another team on that defense.
There is a clear line between the first four games he played and the last three.
And they were only able to muster together 18 points against that defense. I think that they're going to very much struggle against the Patriots defense on Sunday, and the Patriots will win. Now, ultimately, that shouldn't change anything that the Patriots are intending to do in terms of moving personnel. They are still should be in a rebuild mode. They should be trying to acquire assets. Now, that doesn't mean if Devin McCourty is very important in your locker room, first of all, I don't know what you get from him. But second of all, you don't get rid of a guy like that. You're not throwing in the towel completely, but you're moving pieces that aren't part of your future to get younger and to get more control over salaries. So, Bill Belichick. Now, here's the deal. Stephon Gilmore, he is got a year left on his deal, a year that he's not going to play for. He's not going to play for that amount of money. And he has to go. And so this is the big piece that you feel is going to be moved. And Rich, Bill Belichick was asked about this, huh? What'd you
say? He was. It was Mike Reese, and then I believe it's Mark Daniels, right, from the Providence Journal. There's rumors that are out about Stephon Gilmore, not just the ones that Burt Breer was talking about, but I mean, how many times did you get sent yesterday from listeners saying Gilmore's house was just put on the market? Yeah, and he's got to be out by trade day. And you're like, all right, great. So the listeners are emailing us, telling us, as of yesterday afternoon, they're telling us that Gilmore's house is on the market. Fine, send me the listing. I would like to see the listing. I would like to see some sort of
proof. So is my friend Allen's house.
Yes, right. So here is
go take a look. It's a beautiful
here's Bill area. Belichick being asked about these rumors about Stephon Gilmore being on the trading block.
Have you noticed opponents attacking Stephon Gilmore this year, maybe more so than what we saw from last year?
Yeah. I don't know. I think you'd have to ask those teams what their game plan was and all that.
Hey, Bill. So there's this report out there that the Patriots are essentially talking to other teams about trading Stephon Gilmore. And I just wanted to ask you if you anticipate having Steph on your roster past the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't know anything about those.
Next question, Chris Ryan.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
No, it's a different, different guy.
No, Bill Belichick did not do that.
No, he did not.
You're so out of line, sir. What does Matthew McConaughey have to say about that?
Did you
hear Matthew McConaughey that Stephon Gilmore, his house is on the market, and it was tweeted out by a man I truly despise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. He's a piece of crap who wants to be my friend, isn't he?
Well, I don't know who tweeted it out. All I know is that yesterday I was getting all these emails saying, hey, man, there's things on the market. I'm like, all right, well, I mean.
Well, listen, you got to tweet things out. You got to get on Twitter. You got to break the news. You got to be Johnny on the spot. I mean, you got to get the people talking. You got to be moving, shaking, headline making. You can't be sitting back. You got to be on the tweet machine telling people what to think, what to hear. Hey, Post Malone's rock star song's on. Let's all have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Somebody send me the listing. Send me the listing. If it's for sale.
Who cares if it's for sale? Who cares? He gets traded or he doesn't get traded. What the hell? So, oh boy, his house is on the market. He's going to get traded. Well, if he gets traded, then you'll know. wait a second. So if his house is on the market and you break that he's going to get traded, what the hell difference does it make?
Doesn't make any difference.
No, because the season's the season. It's interesting if he gets traded what they get for him, but the season is the season. Now, if you are adding Stephon Gilmore, now that's exciting. If Stephon Gilmore is on another team and he bought a house in Providence, that's exciting to me. Because, ooh, they're adding, and this is going to be interesting. Finding out that they got a second-round pick for Stephon Gilmore, whenever I hear it, I know it. Good. It doesn't change what's going to happen. It's part of the selling process. Now, if I'm a fan of the Buccaneers and it comes in that they, made a trade and got a pass rusher or something, now I'm excited.
Stephon Gilmore getting moved is just a smart business decision. It's like putting money in a 529 for your kids. It's not exciting, but it's nice, and you have it there for the future. It's not mind-blowing crap. Good, he sold his house. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back and take more of your dad's money. Gabe, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just real quick. I can't believe Belichick's ego let us get into this situation. But now that we're in the situation, I can't believe we haven't traded Gilmore earlier. If Belichick was a Belichick of old, he would have traded Gilmore before the San Francisco game and even earlier to get more trade.
I don't know. I don't think that matters. I think that it's important to trade him before the trade deadline. I mean, obviously, his value is going to be infinitesimal in the offseason because you're talking about a guy who's another year older. You don't get that playoff run with him. And also, he's not going to want to play for that contract, so you're going to have to renegotiate with him.
Fred, I have a weird feeling.
It doesn't matter. This week, next week, it doesn't matter.
I have a weird feeling that they're going to end up getting a first-round pick. I think someone's going to overpay.
Yeah, maybe.
It's smelling like they're going to be able to do that.
Well, that would want him is going to be a team that's going to have a late-round first anyway. It's going to be a team that's got the luxury of adding and, you know, going for it this year. So, yeah, I mean, a late round first pick, its value, you know, that is what it is. I mean, you could pick up a really good player like a Sony Michel or a N'Keal Harry with that pick. I mean, a nice late first round pick that you can just tee away.
That's the thing. He gets a first round pick and, you know, yeah. You're putting it in the hands of a guy who hasn't been very good with his first round picks.
Or you could get a Tavon Wilson with an early second round pick.
That was round two, Fred. Come on.
No, that was an early second round pick. Oh, I remember it well because I had the audacity. Because here's another Patriot fans that are panicking right now. Why this is giving me some pleasure is that when Tavon Wilson was picked, which wasn't a bad player for the Lions, it turned out, but when he was picked, he wasn't even at the combine. People said, a lot of players, Fred, you don't know what you're talking about. That. I said, you're telling me that a guy that wasn't picked to go to the combine, regardless, say he's the next Ronnie Lott, you're taking him in the second round? Like, you're not maneuvering around with the pick? You're not trading down? You're not doing something? You're reaching for a guy at that pick? But that blew people's minds. They couldn't figure it out because they're so smart with their aliases. I'll tell you, because now that my brain's repairing itself, I'm getting these flashes of memories,
yeah,
and they're coming back at me, and I'm remembering Patriot fans
Bill
that are driving me crazy.
Swung and missed greatly in round two.
Tell you this, is that the Patriot fans that have been around the team appreciate every minute of it. I get the nicest Instagram messages. I get the nicest emails. I'm like Donald Trump, the nicest. You think yours are nice, mine are the nicest.
Sorry.
But I'll tell you what, they appreciate it because they know. And every time one of you idiots cries to me or sends me something that, no, they're rebuilding. And it's a rebuild. And you can't handle it because you've devoted your entire identity to this team. And now you can't come into focus that they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Matthew? Are you going to buy Stephon Gilmore's house? I'll listen to you or David Lee Roth about that. Oh, but is that a yes or a no? Well, that's no. Okay. Is your book a big ripoff?
Sure.
Are you? Now, this is an honest question. This is the last question I'm going to ask Matthew McConaughey. Is it a problem that your book is being released at the same time as Jim Gray's Conversation with Goats?
God damn it, baby, you know I ain't lying to you. I'm only going to tell you one time.
He got very upset when you mentioned his name.
He did a Red Fox impression in the middle of their first song on their first album.
Oh, my God.
It's true. By the way, if you want something to watch, just quickly while it's on my mind, if you have Showtime, there is a series on the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. And it's where Letterman, Leno came out of. Kinison came out of there. Richard Pryor, that was
his. Did Pauly Shore's mom run that place?
Mitzi Shore ran that place. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting. A lot of Freddie Prinze Jr. Came out of there.
Prinze Jr. was a comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, Freddie Prinze.
Freddie Prinze, right?
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was the guy.
Junior's his son. Yes. Freddie Prinze.
Yes.
Okay.
is the guy who killed himself. That was
I'm Chico and the Man.
That's right.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. was like teen movies. Like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, right?
I would drink his bathwater.
Summer Catch, wasn't he the star?
Oh, yeah,
of that
that's
one?
Right, he was.
And it was just like, oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm a dead fish. Come on, bring me in. Put me in your body.
No, it was about like the cape. Yeah, the cape.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, I know. Yeah, but I'm the catch. I know. Oh. I get the play. It's triple. Because you think it's fishing, but it's not. You can catch in baseball, and also you get a nice girl. That's a nice catch.
Ah, that's right. Jessica Biel, I think.
Yeah, she
that's
was from right. the right side of the tracks, and this jabroni was just some guy who was going to play professional
lawns.
Baseball.
That's all he did. He cut lawns.
Yeah, while he was playing in the semi-pro league, which was going to probably lead to riches. If you're playing a wooden bat league in the summer, my friend, if you're invited to the Cape League, you ain't bad at baseball, I'll tell you that much. That's an invitation. If you're invited to a wooden bat league like the Cape League, woof.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid Milo played in the championship game last Sunday. He looked like he was in what's the real nice area? The 49ers did their walkthrough there at the high school. Oh.
Wellesley?
No, better.
Better than Wellesley?
Sherborne. It starts with a W. Weston.
Weston, all right.
Yeah, the 49ers did their walkthrough at Weston High School.
Wow, okay.
And there was a kid on the Weston team that, like, I looked from a distance to be 21 years old. And he used a wooden bat, and he hit a foul ball that would have left Fenway Park. He hit a ball because there were trees behind the fence.
Yeah.
And he hit a ball that was still going up when it hit the trees. But it was foul.
You always bring up Weston. Weston was the place where Adolfo went hunting. That's the only thing. That's the only reason I remember Weston.
Hunting for pigs, right?
Yeah, he went hunting for something. I don't know. With his bow and arrow.
Every time that there's a Little League game that you know is going to go a while, you're always happy there's woods. You're just like, at least there's woods. At least there's somewhere to make a urine. All right, we will be back, Rich. We'll have the stack coming up. What will we talk about?
Borat 2 is a hit. Mike Tyson makes a song. And there is a brand new phenomenon that I've kind of become obsessed with that just screams Johnny Wallgame.
Well, I hope someone has the information that someone's selling someone's house or someone's getting fired. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We'll be right back. Hear that.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there's going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Hey, everybody, let's just stack it up, baby. What's going on, Wall Game?
It's brought to us by Window Nation, Fred. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payments, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out online at windownation.com.
Emailed to me yesterday. You know, we get a bunch of big, you know, companies and stuff, and publicists send us stuff all the time. And I saw this thing that the Big Night Live people are doing. They're the ones who, you know, own all those restaurants and bars across town. And I just clicked onto it because there was something that it referred to that very rarely do I have absolutely no clue about what somebody's talking about. Like when it comes to a promotion of some sort, have you ever heard of breaking? And I'm not talking about breakdancing. Like sports card breaking before?
Yes.
Okay. Have you done it before? So yes. I'm learning about all this in the last... You have done this?
Yes.
Okay. So from what I'm learning, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, there's this thing that I've just now found this whole world behind the scenes, and I know that sports cards have been bigger than, you know, like they've had a resurgence over the last year. I read plenty of articles about how, you know, when the lockdown happened, people were buying sports cards, nostalgia selling better than ever. But there's this thing,
in 1988,
this
you could have bought a Mickey Mantle rookie for $3,300, and one was just sold at auction for almost $2 million.
Okay. So this thing called breaking, what, and Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, because I tried to get the best definition of this.
Yeah.
Somebody online will say, I am going to, on Tuesday, open up this brand new box of either baseball cards, NBA cards, or football cards. And what you can do is that you can buy a share of the cards that are in there. Like, mm-hmm. you can buy, let's say, the box cost a total of, you know, $600, and someone can buy, you know, $40 worth of it. And then what they do is everybody who's bought shares, once all the shares are bought on the internet, they open up the packs one by one. And if they get one that's like really worth something, they put it in the plastic casing right there and they get it all ready to go. And then I guess by the number that you have drawn, you get what number card that they open up in the pack, and then they send those to you. So you've bought a share. But what people do is they sit and watch this like a movie. They watch the 2-hour pack-by-pack opening, and some of these like breaks go on for like hours upon hours. Like, there was one guy who did it for 6 hours with this stack of boxes, and he'd sold out the entire pack and just get. Have you, John, tell me you've heard of this before, because I've never heard of this.
I've heard of breaking. I had no idea what it entailed, though.
Yeah, you go to Dean's Cards, they'll put the, then they send you the nice card. It's in a box with all this foam around it. It's cute.
Have you done that?
I haven't watched him do it, but I've bought a percentage of a box.
How do you know they're not ripping you off?
Just based on, I mean, you know, if they're Christian.
You have to make sure it's a bona fide Christian one. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm out. They won't let me in.
You're nothing. You're a
heathen. I'm agnostic. Does that mean
heathen.
I'm out?
You're yeah. a heathen. No, you have to go by their reputation.
Okay. All right. Because you would wonder if, let's say, you end up getting the one signed DK Metcalf card that everybody wants. You know, what's to say that the guy who broke the box doesn't keep that give you the crap cards?
I've bought one time early in my Nave days when I got back into baseball cards, is I bought cards, like an unopened box of like whatever, 85 tops. I did it for nostalgia's sake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it became obvious, like, in my fourth pack that someone had gone through them and re-glued them. Which is really cheap, because there's nothing in there that's worth anything.
Yeah.
Because that was the McGuire Olympic rookie card, which is worth nothing. And then it was Eric Davis, which is worth nothing. But, like, I just wanted to do it. Like, and, you know, my son would, you know, he would pay attention for 20 minutes. But I got ripped off there. So, yes, I have been ripped off before.
So this is wild. So, like, the thing that I got was that, you know, one of the clubs is doing a thing where, and I guess they had, like, Chase Winovich do the break, like, last week, and they get some
Thank
Celtics,
God but that guy's got long hair, man. I mean, I'll
People
tell
like
you
him.
What.
And he's well-spoken. He's, like, very funny. And
as opposed to everyone else.
He's a good interview, man. I'm not trying to shill for the midday show, but that's a good interview. They got a good one.
I don't doubt it, but, I mean, again, it speaks of the lack of star power on this team that we're talking about Chase Winovich.
It's true. When he's like one of the first go-to guys that people want, that is definitely says something about the star power. But what they do is they have people come in and buy like shares, and they watch it live in the club. Like, there's like a big screen, and like people sit there and watch. And that, instead of like seeing a live band, people are now paying to see somebody break open a box of baseball cards. I mean, it's kind of genius, because I guess people are into it, but I've just never heard of this until now. A bunch of people are tweeting. It's like, yeah, it's like absolutely massive. I understand. I get why that would be cool, because the unboxing stuff, I even understand the psychology behind that. That's kind of cool. Every once in a while, I'll click on something. Oh, yeah, it gives you a nice feeling of opening up something brand new. But that is wild that for 2 hours, someone will watch somebody open up cards and they'll buy a share into it. That is. I just thought that of all people, you guys would be the ones who would know something about that.
So. Yep. I'm on Dean Cards right now, and I will see what they have going here. It's kind of hard to navigate their site. It's kind of crappy, but
how much is a new box of NFL cards, though? Like, I mean,
a box or a pack?
A box. Like, if you were to get a box, the kind that they do these breaks with, that's only like what? Like a couple $100? Like maybe $200?
A box, you're guaranteed one. Per box, you're guaranteed one, special card. Let me see.
I don't even think they're $200. I saw a couple that were like $70.
Let me see.
And once again, they could have also have been the Donruss of NFL cards, which, if you want to speak my language, I used to, collect it, Donruss was what, I put it this way. My family was poor. I didn't even have Donruss.
Yeah,
I had Tops.
Was in the back bin. Yeah, you had Fleer and Tops out front. Tops
Fleer
first,
and Tops
Fleer
great.
Second, and then Donruss was like eighth.
And Donruss was like, and I remember Tops baseball cards being like 50 cents. Yeah. Was Donruss like a quarter? Is that what
Donruss
the difference
was? Donruss
was
like 3 cents.
Okay, all right. They're orange and disgusting.
Yeah, I can't find anything on this site. It takes me forever to find something.
Yeah.
So I'm having troubles.
All right. Well, Borat 2 is a certified hit. As a matter of fact, the much-hyped release of Mulan straight to television ended up being a lesser hit than Borat 2. As a matter of fact, Variety said that an estimated 1.6 million U.S. households streamed Borat 2 on Amazon Prime. That's fairly impressive, seeing that a lot of people didn't even know where to find it when it first came out. By comparison, Mulan's movie, the remake of it, or the live action one, registered only 1.1 million streams there as well. Have you finished Borat yet? Have you finished the entire thing?
No, I have not. Okay. I have no time. My children stay up far too late now. It's all garbage with this stupid virus, and them not being in school all the time. It's just they're just always around.
It's bedtime for
talking and everything. I go to bed at like 9:45.
Yep.
So they go to bed. They're in bed by 9:15, 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got crap I got to do in the afternoon. So I take a nap, and then I have crap in the afternoon, and then I'm just sitting there, or having to do crap with them. So yeah, I there's to get 45 minutes to watch the rest of that Borat's not happening anytime soon.
Okay, because the second half it's very good.
Yeah. I like the girl in it. She's funny.
She's really funny. She does a great job. And you would think that, sometimes you throw somebody in there is like, anytime like they put a sidekick in a movie and it wasn't in the first one, you're like, now it's, she was great. She was really good. But you know what else is really good? Mike Tyson's first EDM debut. He made a brand new dance song. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
This is Mike Tyson who just released this for the people. Let's take a listen.
I'm Mike Tyson.
I've been the wildest, I've been the craziest, I've been the outrageous.
The vicious, the most destructive fighter
I'm
ever lived.
I'm Mike Tyson, an international star, a warlord to strip your heart out. And guess what? I'm Mike Tyson. I'm Mike Tyson. I'm Mike Tyson.
It sounds to me like Mike Tyson had a lot to do with the production of this song.
It's all getting hits. I mean, have you seen this guy? When we were talking about Post Malone yesterday, someone sent me, I might have erased it. No. It's a guy by the name of, it's something about you girl Ice, JJ Fish.
Oh, we have that.
Yeah, he just sings bad. And there's like a hot chick in the video that he's got. I mean, you can put anything up as long as people look at it. It's like that dumb Post Malone song again. It just sits there and people go, durr, and hit their phone, durr, and then, Post Malone makes 5 cents and everyone, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you put anything up on the internet now as long as it could be anything. Because it doesn't matter even if you like it or you don't like it. It doesn't even matter if you don't even watch more than 1 second of it.
This is Ice JJ Fish that you're talking about.
I mean, the guy sent it to me. I looked at it, so the guy got his hit. Yeah, like it's not funny, it's nothing, but I clicked on it, and so they got the click. So if every moron that gets sent this to them clicks on it, what's the guy care? You clicked on it. It means nothing now. You sat through the ad at the beginning of it or whatever the hell they need you to do.
What was that? We got a guest star.
Sit back and say, watch these damn ass whooping. That's what y'all do.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, Fine Bomb, man.
Fine Bomb, I don't care about you nowhere. Let me tell you something, Fine Bomb.
Yeah, that Mike Tyson thing was just a guy who put Mike Tyson's, like, talking to one of the beats that was already made. So it's like, I don't quite think that Tyson really had anything to do with that.
You can get a 2020 Topps Gallery Baseball Monster Box for $89.95.
How much? $89.95?
$89.95. If you want the 2020 Topps Chrome Baseball Ben Baller Edition Hobby Box, that's going to run you $430.
Okay, people are saying this is like the most degenerate form of gambling. As a matter of fact, I mean, they're saying like you could, some of these cards are worth $500 in the pack. Is that right?
Yes.
Because that,
by the
really?
Way, we played that, my daughter heard it and just texted me that that's on TikTok.
Oh.
So my daughter has heard that song, and so the guy gets the money from my daughter. It just pops up, and there you go. That's business. Nothing to it. And that's why I got so angry about that Post Malone song. It's just the price of business. Boop, 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 boop. Door, 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 door. Oh. Guy's got bad singing voice. Var, var, var. Big deal. This is the way that we're consuming. And then we had the guy yesterday calling, well, 2 billion people have listened to it. Well then, my goodness. Nothing bad has ever happened that was endorsed by a lot of people.
Sure.
History has shown nothing but great decisions by the masses.
Yep, yep.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that now I got Hobby Box fever. I still have a bunch of last year's Hobby Boxes with Trout in the. I have a bunch of them.
So you bought a box and
I bought a crate.
Okay. Oh, you bought a crate. Now of the new ones, are they so each
of
box
last year's,
is guaranteed to have like one super expensive card in it? Is that what you're saying?
Or one like special card?
Okay,
like,
that's not worth more than the box. The price of the box itself, obviously, because that just wouldn't make sense.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.